Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives are being transformed by the word of God. So quickly, from where we stopped yesterday, we've been studying what to do if and when I sin as a Christian, if I fall into sin as a Christian. And I've been showing us the possibility of sinning as a Christian. The fact that you're born again, filled with the Spirit of God, does not mean you are immune from making errors or missing the mark or falling, you know, into sin. You can make mistakes. You are on the path of maturity. You're on the pathway to maturity, on the pathway of, you know, of progress in the faith. And in that journey, there are bound to be mistakes. Glory be to God. There are bound to be mistakes. Yesterday, I also showed us from the scriptures how that the scope of sin when it comes to our conduct, behavior, is actually very broad. Praise God. Today, let me show us some other things in scriptures. Philippians chapter 2. Do you know that walking in fear, walking in worry, anxiety, complaining is living in sin? Hallelujah. Or is sinning as a Christian. You're actually sinning if you walk in complaints, murmurings. Because the Bible expressly instructs us to not be given to complain. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Complaining, having a lifestyle of complaining and, you know, disputing, is actually living contrary to the will of God. Hallelujah. That's walking in disobedience to an express instruction given us in Christ Jesus. You are not meant to complain. Praise God. Now, several Christians don't even know that this is unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Imagine something as simple as that is unrighteousness. That's living contrary to the life that God has called us into. Being given over to complain. What about worry, anxiety? Praise God. Those are very subtle things that are, you know, contrary to the life we have been called to, contrary to faith, contrary to the new life, contrary to the nature we have received in Christ Jesus. That's missing the mark. Praise God. Worry, anxiety. Philippians chapter 4, from verse 6, Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you seen that walking in anxiety and worry is anti-Christ? Praise God. It's anti-Christ. It's against the instructions given us in Christ Jesus. It's against the new life we have received. 1 Peter in chapter 5, glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 7. Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Glory to Jesus. So we have been called to a life where we are not meant to worry. Jesus even taught this at Matthew 6. He says, don't worry what you eat, what you drink. Praise God. Now, a lot of Christians are plagued by worry, anxiety, but they consider themselves to be sinlessly perfect. Hello? If you are worried and anxious, and you are full of complainings, murmurings, complaining about the economy, complaining about many things, complaining about different things, you know, things not working fine as you planned, and all of that, you are actually living contrary to the life you've been called into. You think this is too much, or you think this is us exaggerating things? No, you will never find Jesus walking in complaint or murmuring or anxiety. Jesus never lived such a life. Praise God. Jesus modeled sinless perfection in his own walk. And we have been called to follow his footsteps, right? However, you and I are walking towards maturity. Jesus never needed to renew his mind from, you know, whatever. Praise God. He never needed to, you know, he didn't make a transition from being a sinner to being a righteous person. And that's the difference. But you and I, we had a past life. Praise God. We had an old life. And the residue of that old life exists in our minds. So it's a lifetime journey, a lifetime walk with the Lord. You never find Jesus walking in anxiety or worry. So living in worry and anxiety is contrary to the life that we have been called to in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Do you know that something as simple as walking in fear is contrary to the nature you have received? Walking in fear is unrighteousness. Praise God. God cannot relate with fear. Praise God. What you find in God is faith. Contrary to what a lot of people think, that fear is just normal. To God, fear is not normal. Fear is abnormal. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Glory to God. So you see, if you are marking iniquities, if you really want to get down to marking iniquities, where you discover that you can't use your hand to beat your chest and say you're actually sinlessly perfect in all your ways. You know, fear looks very normal, looks like a common thing to everybody, but you know, that is not the life we have been called to live. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 17, Bible says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Look at verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love, we love him because he first loved us. Praise God. You know the amazing thing? Those who have devoted their lives to preaching against the grace of God and are majoring in legalism, the law of Moses and rules and commandments, how to please God by what you do, how to be accepted by what you do, how to be saved by what you do, and all that, they are always perpetually promoting this fear that is ungodly. Praise God. Such are the folks who, you know, believe that it is by their works they'll be saved. However, even what they are preaching is ministering and inspiring fear, which is against the love of God. Fear which is considered to be, you know, contrary to what we have been called to. It says, the one that fears has not been made perfect in the love of God. So, a fearful heart is actually anti the nature we have received. A fearful heart is unrighteousness before God. God has not called us to fear. He has called us to faith in Christ Jesus. A lifestyle of faith, a lifestyle of confidence. Glory be to God. So like I've said yesterday, the point is to stop trying to certify or to judge yourself as being sinlessly perfect. The point is to keep growing in the faith. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on the goal. The aim is to keep growing, keep maturing, keep progressing in the Christian faith. There will always be room to live better, to act better, to talk better, to do things better, to respond to issues better. There will always be room for maturity and growth as long as you're on the face of the earth. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Then we'll start addressing how to respond to sin in your walk with the Lord. Glory to God. Philippians in chapter 3. Look at what Paul says. Again, Philippians chapter 3, very instructive, because that's the goal. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, Bible says, not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, hallelujah, one thing I do, forgetting the past, the things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what I do. I forget those things that are behind. I forget the past. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to see myself as one who has been perfected, who has fully matured. I'm not seeing myself as one who has apprehended. There's one thing I do. My aim, my goal is to keep progressing in the Christian faith. So that should be your goal. Hallelujah. That should be your goal. That should be your desire. That should be your ever-increasing, you know, desire to always make progress in the Christian faith. Not to sit down. You see, the only person that can certify you as sinless or whatever, that can approve your works, your walk as perfect before him, is God. He's the judge. Praise God. You know, we are in a race. You can't be running a race and at the same time be awarding yourself. It's at the end of the race you get to be, you know, approved or disapproved. At the end of the race. Glory to God. So let your focus be on running well. At the end of your life, you can say, see, I've kept the faith, I've fulfilled the ministry, I've run the race and all of that. But while you are still in the race, you can't be satisfying yourself or judging yourself to be blameless in all that you're doing. Praise God. We'll come to some places in the pastoral epistles where Paul, even in the book of Thessalonians, where Paul seemed to, you know, make mention of being blameless and all that in conduct, in character. And then we're going to see what that actually means in the context in the which Paul uses those words. But in all, by now it should be clear to you that you might be offending in many ways than you are even aware of. Praise God. You know, yesterday I mentioned submitting to authority, the authority of the land. How many folks actually cross the road when they ought to use the pedestrian bridge? You look right and left, you don't see any law enforcement agent, and then you just cross the road. Praise God. You know, you are disobeying the authority of the land. And Bible says to submit to authorities. Praise God. And people do a lot of that. What about folks who don't use seatbelts? And as you know, of course, as long as there are no policemen or last man, anybody on the road, you just drop the seatbelt. You just drive without the seatbelt. You are flouting the law of the land. And Bible mandates you to obey. There are many things, though. Hallelujah. Many areas where people are flouting rules and regulations that, you know, we are instructed to adhere unto. Praise God. How many people actually get on, you know, this one is even different. You get on a site or you get a software and you're installing, and then they say, have you agreed? Have you read and agreed to the terms and conditions? You've not even read it because it's so long. And then you click, I've read and agreed to the terms and conditions. Praise God. And then you click, okay, or I accept and all that. And you have not read it. Praise God. Lying on the go. You know, how many softwares have you installed this year like that? How many sites have you visited that you have to agree to something you've not read and you said you read it without reading it? This year alone, for some of you, you've installed over 30 softwares. You've lied over 30 times. God have mercy on your soul. Praise God. No, so, but the point is this. You don't get busy trying to certify yourself to be sinless. What you should focus on is on getting better. Getting better in your walk with God. Focusing on spiritual maturity. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Verse 7. And established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Praise God. Let your focus be on being rooted and built up, on maturity. That's your focus. That's your aim. To keep growing, to get better, to improve. Glory be to God. So let's quickly start considering what to do if and when I fall into sin. 1 John chapter 2, that's the first thing we're going to see. What should I do the moment I find myself erring, falling into a particular sin? What should I do as a Christian? The first thing you should do is to remember the advocacy of Christ. Hallelujah. Remember that you have an advocate. Praise God. The opposite, or let me say, the alternative to this is to walk in guilt and self-condemnation. Is to be guilty, to feel guilty and be walking in self-condemnation and to condemn yourself, to write yourself off, to count yourself as unworthy of the grace of God, to count yourself as unworthy of being in relationship with the Father, to count yourself as a filthy, deathy substance that cannot appear and stand before God. That's the only alternative to, you know, seeing and reassuring yourself of the fact that you have an advocate with the Father. Praise God. Now realize this, your sin can never be greater than the advocacy of Christ. Your sin can never be greater than what Jesus did to sin. There is nothing you will do today that can invalidate or alter or overwhelm the grace of God that you have received. Praise God. There is nothing. 1 John in chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Have you seen? It says, when you do sin, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Praise God. Now, an advocate is somebody that pleads on your behalf. It doesn't say when you sin or if you sin, begin to confess, begin to ask for mercy, begin to plead and cry, perhaps God will have mercy on you. It says, realize you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. The word propitiation there actually means a satisfaction. Praise God. The sacrifice of Jesus has been offered to God, to the Father, and it is satisfactory. It's a sweet-smelling aroma. Glory to God. Remember, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation, he is the payment, the satisfaction for our sins. Glory to God. And the advocacy of Jesus speaks of his death and resurrection. It doesn't mean every time you sin as a Christian, Jesus goes on his knees and begins to beg and apologize and plead to the Father on your behalf. No, he speaks of what he did at Calvary, his work and his resurrection. Is death and resurrection. In fact, more accurately, it speaks of the outcome of your faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, that which came to you by virtue of his death and resurrection. Praise God. That's why that word advocate is the word parakletos. Parakletos in the Greek, which is the same word used for the comforter. Glory to God. The comforter. John chapter 14, verse 16. Look at this carefully. John 14, 16. That's the word advocate. You have an advocate. You have an intercessor with the Father. John 14 and verse 16. Glory to God. Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Have you seen the helper, the intercessor, the paracletos, the advocate? He would abide with you forever. So the outcome of Jesus' death and resurrection for the man that has faith in him is that he receives remission of sins and the indwelling spirit. Praise God. That is how Jesus intercedes for sinners. He gives them the gift of the indwelling spirit. So the satisfaction is that when God looks at you, he finds no blame. He sees no error. He finds no sin. He sees his spirit. Hallelujah. When God looks at you, he is satisfied because what he sees is a man indwelt by his spirit. Glory to God. Is a man that has been set free from the captivity of sin. Is a man that has received the remission of sins. Remember, the word remission is the word aphesis, which means a setting free. The man has been delivered. He has the indwelling spirit. That is the advocacy. That is the satisfaction that, you know, we are talking about, the propitiation. God looks at you and is satisfied. He is pleased with what he is seeing. Praise God. Because he's not seeing a sinner. He's seeing a just man. He's seeing a man that is endured by his spirit. He's seeing the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So God is pleased. Hallelujah. That is the advocacy of Jesus. Glory be to God. John chapter 15 and verse 26 also. That's the word paracletos. The word helper, as translated in the NKJV. Helper. That's the same word comforter. That's the same word intercessor. That's the same word advocate. Glory to God. John 15, 26, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now, the Spirit of God, the giving of the Spirit is a result of the work of Jesus. Nobody could receive the indwelling Spirit without Jesus dying and rising again from the dead. Hallelujah. Upon Jesus' glorification, the Holy Ghost was given to men as an indwelling nature. Hallelujah. So that is the intercessory work of Jesus. That's the advocacy of Christ. Jesus intercedes for men by giving them the indwelling spirit, which is the same as receiving the remission of sins. Look at John chapter 7. No one could receive the Holy Ghost until Jesus was glorified. Glory to God. John and chapter 7. Hallelujah. John and chapter 7, I'll read from verse 37. The Bible says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, point of emphasis. But this is spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Have you seen? The Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. So, Jesus poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost when he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. Praise God. So, I'm saying this is the intercession of Christ. Now see how Peter links the remission of sins with the gifts of the Spirit. Acts 2:32. Glory to God. Or verse 38 rather. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Because when the Holy Ghost comes into a man, what it does is to set him free from sin. Hallelujah. That's what happened to us at redemption. That's why we are said to have been born of the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that delivered us from the power of darkness, that delivered us from the power of sin. It's the Holy Ghost that set us free from the power of darkness. It delivered us. It translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. From flesh, there was a new birth. We were born of the Spirit of God, born into the kingdom of God by the agency of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, we receive remission of sins by the gift of the Spirit. Praise God. And until Jesus was exalted, until Jesus was glorified, no one could receive the Spirit. Jesus says, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He was going to ascend. Hallelujah. He was going to ascend. Glory be to God. So the intercessory work of Jesus, when we say we have an advocate with the Father, you must cast your mind back to forgiveness that you already received. It is not something Jesus will do for you at the point of sinning. You must remember your sins have been taken away. Hallelujah. You must remember he has done something concerning sin. He has addressed the sin problem. Praise God. He has forgiven you. Hallelujah. You have received remission of sins. And now, the proof of that is that you have the indwelling spirit, a present tense reality. Glory to God. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. The intercession work of Jesus, the intercession or the advocacy of Jesus is about the indwelling spirit which you have today as a proof of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53. Glory to Jesus. Look at this now. I'll read from verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He made. Hallelujah. Have you seen? He's not interceding. He made. Praise God. He made intercession. Such that when we say we are being interceded for today, it is based on the intercession he already made. Praise God. He has made intercession for transgressors. Hallelujah. See how Isaiah says, and he bore the sin of many. He bore. Hallelujah. It's in past tense. He bore the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. Glory be to God. That's how Jesus has interceded, by his death and resurrection. Glory be to God. So, he's seated at the right hand of God today. Bible says he's interceding for us. Look at Romans chapter 8. And then you discover that that intercession, the Bible says he's doing, is based on what he has done. It is his work that is speaking. It is that which he has done that is interceding for us today. Romans in chapter 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. I'll read from verse 33. Glory to God. Or from verse 31. Romans 8:31. Bible says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That would seem as though Paul is saying Jesus is doing a different intercession for us, separate from what he has done already. But not so. Realize he says that Jesus is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, the right hand of God, being seated at the right hand of God, actually signifies something. Praise God. We read at Acts 2 earlier, having been exalted to the right hand of God, Acts 2, 33, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So, for being at the right hand of God, he has given us the indwelling spirit. That's the intercession. Hallelujah. That is the intercession. Look at this other place. Hebrews and chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Have you seen? When he had purged our sins. He is not purging our sins. When he had purged our sins, a finished work, then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. He sat down. So being at the right hand of God signifies a finished work. He has given us his Holy Ghost. He has given us the gift of remission of sins by sitting down at the right hand of the Father. Praise God. That is the intercession. Now that word paracletos, I told you, is the same word that means helper. That's why the NKJV translates it helper. The KJV says comforter. It's the same. That's the same word, intercessor. That is the intercession. The receiving of the Spirit of God. The receiving of the gift of remission of sins. That is the intercession of Christ. That is his advocacy. Glory to Jesus. We have been forgiven. We have been justified. We have been set free. So when you realize that that is not your nature. That is not your life anymore. Realize you have an advocate. Realize you have been set free from the power of sin. Realize you can say no to sin because you've been delivered from the power of sin. So remember that you have been forgiven. Praise God. That is the word helper, paracletos, helper, intercessor, comforter. You know that the help of God primarily is your salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Bible says, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I have helped you. I have helped you. Hallelujah. So when he calls the Holy Ghost the helper, a comforter, the primary help and comfort is our salvation. That's the eternal consolation Jesus has given us by his death and resurrection. Glory to God. Final scripture, Hebrews chapter 7 and from verse 22. Bible says, by so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant, also there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, therefore is able also to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. Now, how does he make intercession? Is it by making a continuous sacrifice or a continuous pleading? No. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Have you seen? He did it once and for all time. Praise God. So when Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost because he ever lives to make intercession for them, the intercession is by what he did once and for all time. Glory to God. So we must never misapply what John is saying. When he says, if any man sins, we have an advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We must not see it as us coming to Christ anytime we fall into sin and saying, please advocate for us or please forgive us. No, we have an advocate. And then he says, he is already the propitiation. He won't be the propitiation. He is already that propitiation. Not just for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. So for the believer, he has received the intercession. He has received the work of Jesus. The unbeliever is yet to. But Jesus is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. That's why in the same chapter, verse 12, he says, I write to you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Have you seen? Past tense. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's the advocacy. That's the intercession. So when I fall into sin, the first thing to remember is that the sacrifice of Jesus has catered for my sin. Hallelujah. I'm the forgiven one. I've been delivered from the power of sin. I've been set free. I've received the intercession of Jesus. I've received the advocacy of Christ Jesus. Jesus, I've received the work of Jesus and is the propitiation for my sin. Glory to God. That is the first thing to recall and to remember. Like I said, none of your deeds can outweigh what Jesus has done. Praise God. None of your deeds can outweigh what Jesus has done. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. The intercession is not a continuous pleading. It is a sitting at the right hand of the Father as a proof of a finished, of an accomplished work. He has purged our sins. Hallelujah. He has purged our sins. None of your deeds can outweigh that which Jesus has done. Romans chapter 5 verse 20. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Glory be to God. Grace abounded much more. So you ought to remember that first and foremost, that you have been forgiven. Praise God. You've been forgiven. You are a forgiven one. You must remember that you have an advocate. And you must know what that advocacy is. It is the indwelling spirit. Hallelujah. The gift of remission of sins. It's a done deal. It's settled. Praise God. You are not lobbying to get it. You've received it. It is a present tense possession. You have an advocate with the Father and he is the propitiation for your sin. Not for some sins though. For all sins. Is the propitiation for our sins. Not for us only, but also for the whole world. So that's the first thing to remember. That you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. Praise God. It sounds so simple, but that's the first thing to remember. Because if you don't remember this, you will slip into self-condemnation and guilt. You will start judging yourself unworthy of the grace of God. You are meant to remind yourself and assure your heart of that which Jesus has done on your behalf, of that which you have received. You must remind yourself that you are better than that sin. You are better than that action. Praise God. You must remind yourself that you have received a life that supersedes, that is superior to your mess up. Praise God. That is superior to your missing the mark. That is superior to that trespass, to that transgression. You must remind yourself that you have something that is worth more than that moment of missing it. Glory to God. You've been forgiven, justified. You are a righteous man in the sight of God. You see, as simple as this is the first step to recovery. Praise God. This is the first step to recovering from every error. Praise God. You must remind yourself of the fact that you have been forgiven in Christ. You must remind yourself that you are not in need of forgiveness. You have already obtained forgiveness. You must remind yourself that your sin, your transgression does not overrule the forgiveness you have received in Christ Jesus. You must remind yourself that the sin you've committed is not above the intercession that Jesus has done for you. It's not above the help of God on your inside. It's not above the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not above the remission of sins that you have received. You must remind yourself that your sin does not annul or erase or eradicate your place in Christ Jesus. It doesn't take away that which has been done and settled for you in Christ Jesus. This is the first step to recovery. And like I said earlier, the only alternative to this is to wallow in guilt and self-condemnation, and that is not the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, relatives, family members, colleagues at work, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Don't forget to share on your social media handles, put on your WhatsApp status. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayers, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.